of scarred and hardened feet. Like Chevy and Valdir, most of the Brazilians he'd met so far, Welly had black hair, dark eyes, semi-Caucasian features, and a shade of brown skin that was lighter than some, darker than others, but a shade all his own. I'm alive and sober, Nate thought, sipping. I have once again touched briefly the edge of hell and survived. I've bottomed, I've crashed, I've stared at the blurred image of my face and welcomed death, yet here I am, sitting and breathing. Twice in 3 days I have uttered my last words. Maybe it's not my time. Stiff from the plane wreck and shaky from the vodka, Nate pulled himself up and stood unaided in the center of the deck, wobbly and bent at the knees. But he was able to stand, and this alone meant everything. Recovery was nothing but a series of small steps, small victories. String them together with no stumbles and no defeats, and you're treated. Never cured, just treated, or rehabbed, or sanitized for a while. He'd done the puzzle before, celebrate every little piece. Then the flat bottom of the boat brushed against a sandbar, jolting it, and Nate fell hard against the hammock. It flipped him onto the deck, where his head cracked on a wooden plank. He scrambled to his feet, and clutching the railing with one hand, while rubbing his skull with the other. No blood, just a small knot, just another little wound to the flesh. But the blow woke him, and when his eyes cleared, he moved slowly along the railing to the small plank bridge, where Jevy sat on a stool, one hand draped over the wheel. The quick Brazilian smiled then. How do you feel? Much better, Nate said, almost ashamed. But shame was an emotion Nate had abandoned years earlier. Addicts know no shame. You disgrace yourself so many times, you become immune to it. Welly bounced up the stairs with coffee in both hands. She gave one to Nate and the other to Jevy, and then took his perch on a narrow bench next to the captain. The sun was beginning to fall behind the distant mountains of Bolivia, and the clouds were forming to the north, directly in front of them. The air was light and much cooler. Jevy found his t-shirt and put it on. Nate feared another storm, but the river wasn't wide. Surely they could land the damn boat and tie it to a tree. They approached a small square house, the first dwelling Nate had seen since Corumba. There were signs of life, a horse, a cow, washing on the line, a canoe near the water, a man with a straw hat, a bona fide pantanero, stepped onto the porch and gave them a lazy wave. Past the house, Welly pointed to a spot where thick undergrowth spilled onto the river. Jevy looked, but seemed not to care. He'd seen a million alligators. Nate had seen only one, from the back of a horse, and as he gazed at the slimy reptiles, watching them from the mud, he was struck by how much smaller they appeared from the deck of a boat. He preferred the distance. Something told him, though, that before his journey was over, he would once again get too close for comfort. The John boat was trailing behind the Santa Laura, would have been used in their search for Rachel Lane. He and Jevy would navigate small rivers, dodge undergrowth, wade through dark, weedy waters. But oddly, Nate didn't care at the moment. So far as Brazil, he'd proved himself quite resistant. It was an adventure, and his guide seemed fearless. Grasping the handrail, he managed the steps down with great care, then shuffled along the narrow walkway past the cabin and the kitchen, where Welly had a pot on the propane stove. The diesel roared in the engine room. The last stop was the restroom, a small closet with a toilet, a dirty sink in the corner, and a flimsy shower head swinging back and forth, inches above his head. He relieved himself while studying the cord for the shower. He backed away and pulled it down. Warm water with a slight brownish tint came down with sufficient force. It was obviously river water, scooped from an unlimited supply and presumably unfiltered. There was a wire basket above the door for a towel and a change of clothes, so you had to strip and somehow straddle the toilet while pulling the shower rope with one hand and bathing with the other. What the hell, Nate thought, there simply wouldn't be many showers. He looked in the pot on the stove and found it filled with rice and black beans, and wondered if every meal would be the same. But he didn't really care. Food was not an issue for him. At Walnut Hill, they dried you out by gently starving you. His appetite had shrunk months earlier. He sat on the steps to the bridge, his back to the captain and Welly, and watched the river grow dark. In the dusk, the wildlife prepared itself for the night. Birds flew low over the water, moving from tree to tree, looking for one last minnow or fish for the night. They called to each other as the boat passed, their chants and shrieks rising well above the steady drone of the diesel.